Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
Yosemite.
Kimmel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul addresses this after he talks about the significant change in thought. He says we must undergo the metamorphosis, the transformation of our thought process. Why is that important? Love can't function when our thoughts are wrong. And so the first casualty of Christianity is your thought process. You have to kill your old thought process. I encounter people who bring that street mentality over into the church, and you can see it come out of them. And I think that that needs to change. I'm no longer the bum or the hood on the street. I'm now a representative of the kingdom of God. You can't act a certain way when you become a child of God. Your thoughts must change. After Paul addresses that, he tells us now, as he moves through that chapter, when he gets to the 9th verse, I'm going to read it in the NIV. It says, love must be sincere. It cannot be hypocritical. Paul now gives a group of commands without subject. He gives an object. He tells us first, love must be sincere. And love is the subject of the first 4 words. Love must be sincere. Agape love, the love of God. Eros love is the intimate or the physical love that exists between a husband and a wife. The stergo love is the love that exists between you and your family. It is the love that comes simply because you're in the family. Did you ever wonder why you just automatically love the child that you give birth to immediately, and then later on something happens that causes you maybe to not love that child? Like a man said, God gave me 2 beautiful children, then he gave me a 3rd one. And he didn't call that one beautiful. In fact, Tiberius is the 2nd emperor of Rome. He had a brother, and his mother was said to have loved Tiberius more than she loved his brother. And he would tell her, it's okay, mother. A mother cannot love all of her children. And to think about that is almost reprehensible. But yet it does exist. And so Paul tells us here that love must be sincere. All forms of love, agape love, eros love, even your stergio love. And then there's phileo love, brotherly love, which you have for friends. My buddies growing up, the guys I grew up with that I still see, that's a brotherly love. That's love that comes because they're outside of my genetics. And so those types of love, the Bible gives us as a definitive identifier of this great response. I don't call love an emotion. It's a response. Love is the response to societal demands. And so for Christians, the primary love is agapeo. So what Paul does here, he says love, agape, agapeo. Agapeo is I love. Agape is the verb itself. It's just the infinitive of the verb, agape. But agapeo is I love. I demonstrate. The Bible tells us God is love. And he says that love, our demonstration of love must be sincere. What Paul has a tendency of doing is taking the Koine Greek of his day and mixing it with some form of Latin in order to really bring out the truth of the message. Here is a tremendous illustration. For he says, agapeo love must be sincera, Latin, without wax, without hypocrisy. He seems to suggest that there is no Greek equivalent for the demonstration of this seriousness. Love must be without hypocrisy. And then he goes on, and now he gets into ambiguity. Hate what is evil. Who is he talking about? To whom is he speaking? We have just taken the liberty of putting ourselves in as the object of the subject. That would be erroneous if we don't stick with true rules of biblical interpretation. Since love must be sincere, love hates what is evil. But notice what Paul does here. He does not use a personal pronoun here. So he doesn't say, love who is evil. You hate what is evil. He doesn't say, hate who is evil. You hate what is evil. Therefore, I hate murder, but I love the murderer. I hate sin, but I love the sinner. Why does this propose such a quandary in the mind of the 21st century Christian? Because we are steeped in Western civilization mindset. If you hit me, Lord have mercy. If I think you're going to hit me, and yet both of those principles defy biblical kingdom teaching. So love hates what is evil, and love clings to what is good. In other words, the best demonstration of this is with a mother who gives birth to a child. You cannot get that mother to say anything bad about her child. And some of you get upset when that mother says, not my child, not my child. And you say, are you blind? How did your child come in here with the bicycle that you didn't buy? He found it. Then he goes on and he says, now, again, love causes you to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What he does now is he says that my devotion to my family, to my flesh and blood family, because we share the same genetics, my devotion is to them. No matter what you say, you're never going to get me to turn on them. You're never going to get me to talk about them in a negative way. And if you try to hurt them, I'm going to take you out. Holy Ghost and all, okay? It's just going to happen, all right? Why? Because that love is devoted. But what Paul does, he says, you're to be devoted to one another in phileo love. So that means you're believers in Christ. You're not supposed to talk about us. You're not supposed to put us down. You're not supposed to allow anybody else to do it. When somebody talks about your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're to defend them, because love means that I'm devoted to you. Now, if I'm devoted to you in phileo love, then I must be devoted to you in agape love. So Paul tells us, do good to all, comma, but especially those of the household of faith. So when you say God is no respecter of persons, be careful how you exegete that passage, because while he's no respecter of persons as it relates to people coming to Christ, he is a respecter of persons as it relates to treatment of his people. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. People don't want to hear that when you speak against God's servants. They don't want to hear. And I'm not talking about just the pulpit. I'm talking about all of you. When they speak against God's servants, I'm telling you, there is a consequence. Oh, they may get by for a while, and you'll look and see that they're growing and spreading like a Green Bay tree. But God is going to bring them down. Then he says something else. He says, honor one another above yourselves. Is there anyone here who knows how to honor somebody above themselves? Let me give you a quick illustration. If you're at home by yourself and there's nobody else there coming to visit you, you know you're going to be home for a day or two. You don't want to be bothered with anybody else. You got on your extreme house clothes, the robe with the mustard and the ketchup, and you know, you're really feeling good, and you want to go get a glass of water. What are you gonna put that water in? A cup, maybe a styrofoam cup, maybe a Tupperware cup, or what do we call it in our community? An everyday glass. Now don't leave me out here by myself. I don't know what he talking about everyday. Y'all know what an everyday glass is. It's a glass that's either cracked or faded. I'll put it to you this way. An everyday glass is a glass that doesn't get in the china cabinet. Now we together. All right. But if I come over, what are you going to give me, a glass of water? You're going to give me an everyday glass, or you're going to give me one of them wine glasses? Unless you're family now, you know, unless, you know, because if I go see my family, I don't expect that from them. That's my family. And my family, I'll just go get the glass, you see. But if I come to visit you and here, you know, your pastor's coming to visit, you know, you're going to put away the Playboy, and you're going to put away, you know, turn off the adult channel, and, you know, you're going to tell your child, get that music off. Why? Because the pastor's come. You're showing honor to the office more than you would yourself. If I say to you, take me home, you know, after service, you're going to say, okay, pastor, give me a minute. And that's not to go and move anything out your car. That's to change the station.
I wasn't born in a cabbage patch.
And so what is he saying? He says you're to honor one another above yourselves. In other words, your behavior towards somebody else should be greater than your behavior to yourself. Now, that takes some preaching and teaching, and it'll take some time because there are a lot of psychological barriers that we have to cross. Amongst them is the lack of love for oneself. You see, we've demonized behavior that truly is exhibited from deficiencies in upbringing that have nothing to do with demons. And so we've been trying to cast out demons when really what needs to happen is an opportunity for them to address what's going on inside of them. We heard the announcer on the on our announcements today talk about marriage. And they're doing this play, Who Did I Marry? And to be honest with you, and I don't know anything about the play, and I'm not trying to criticize the play. I think the play is a great idea. It's a great form of evangelism. Go for it. But the reality is, when we get married, it's not who we married that begins to evolve. It's our expectation begins to decay. The number one cause of divorce or breakup in marriage is unrealistic expectations that lead to disillusionment. And disillusionment simply means that as we evolve in this relationship, the things that I expected are no longer rational. It means that you're not capable of giving me what I thought I wanted, and I underscore thought. This is why courtship is important in our culture. It's not important in certain Eastern cultures. The father just betroths the daughter, or in Africa, they just send a representative to negotiate cows and chickens and goats for you. And you don't have anything to say about it. Only in America do you get a choice and pick your spouse. And right now, it's starting to look pretty good to have fathers start picking husbands for their wives, because it seems that our daughters are incapable of picking the right ones. But that's another subject for me and Pastor Martin. But understand, he says, as his daughter grows and gets to that year, you think he's not thinking about picking a spouse for his daughter? Any real man thinks about that. They know these kids, they run on testosterone and estrogen and one sweet word to her, baby, I love you. I want to marry you. That's got nothing to do with marriage. He don't have a job. He don't have no prospects. He has no education. He has no ability to provide. But love has nothing to do with marriage. Just like them a lot. You can grow into love. If you give them everything going in, you got nowhere to go but down.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
03116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Beginning Monday, May 30th, 2016, the Climbing Higher telecast will air on WMCN-TV 44 on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available through antenna television, Comcast cable, and Fios. Be sure to check your cable listings for WMCN-TV. The telecast is also available on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Start your day with an encouraging word from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. with the Climbing Higher telecast of Bethel Deliverance International Church, the church where miracles still happen.